T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Wednesday. 20 minutes away from completing the SEC on CBS twofer. We had Brad Nessler on the show yesterday. We got Gary Danielson on the show today.
Gary.
Love that. I mean, you want to talk some SEC football, who better to talk to than those two guys?
I just need to talk to Gary because that rule, that it seemed like he was the only one in TV and in the and was watching the game, knew that rule about the wide receiver stepping back. I was like, really, Gary?
Oh, yeah, with his getting his foot down on the sideline.
I did not know that.
That's just a man who's got attention to detail.
I did not know that.
He's also a big fan of Randy McMichael, the football player.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
Like, loves Randy McMichael, the football player. And rightfully so.
I love me, too.
Why wouldn't he? He's the best tight end in Georgia history.
Love me, too.
We do, too. We all do, too. Anyway, Gary Danielson going to join us in our College Football Corner 20 minutes from now. The Wendy Zone coming up at 11:40, as always. Let's kick things off with an NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. What?
Where did this guy say that was weak?
Fame. Oh. Like my Paul Crane woos have been kind of weak.
Yeah.
It's like 1-7, man. It takes the air out of my woo. Maybe if they beat the Saints, the air will come back to my woo. Cam Newton has been placed on IR, Randy, which means his season is effectively over. And pretty decent chance that his career as a Carolina Panther is effectively
over. Are
we
so sure about that?
I'm not 100% sure about
that. A lot of people are 100% sure about
that. I can make an argument.
I'm with you, man. If you look at as far as new owner, Cam's injuries lately, and the fact that, I mean, but he's a bargain compared to all these other quarterback contracts, man. So, I don't know if Kyle Allen I guess you want to say franchise quarterback?
I wouldn't think so.
You know what I'm saying? So do they go out and find somebody to replace Cam? Do they trade Cam? Do they release Cam? I think they save $19 million if they do release him. So it'll be interesting, man. His response was kind of, you know, kind of.
Cam's?
Yeah.
What was his response?
Well, basically, you know, say thank you. But he was saying,
right.
It sounded like
it
thank
sounded
you.
Like he knows it's
over. Yeah. I mean, it kind of sounded like that and how he was going to support the guys. You got something
from
me?
Cam's foot such that
no, his foot is not such. We don't trust it. Don't even worry about the foot. The foot's got nothing to do with it, okay?
All right, Coach Ron.
Kind of the argument for Timmy's tube socks right there, isn't it? That's why you ask questions that they don't want you to answer.
It ain't
ask.
Never no time for Tommy for Timmy.
That was 2 months ago.
It ain't never no time for Timmy.
I'm just saying, because a lot of times when people get mad at reporters, it's when they ask questions that coaches and players don't want them
to
ask.
Well, I mean, you can ask
but
about
that's a good question.
That's a good question. You ask about his injury. That ain't a Timmy question.
Okay.
Yeah, they ain't Timmy.
But when does
don't
it,
even worry about the foot. The foot's got nothing to do with it.
I think the foot does have something to do with it.
No. Yeah. But no, a Timmy question would like, well, Coach, did it have something to do with the socks he was wearing, or something like that? You know,
okay.
That's a Timmy guy.
Timmy loves. I mean, he loves socks. He loves to talk about socks.
You know what I'm saying? That's something that he would add.
He's Timmy Tube Socks, after all. Really though, like, say this is it for Cam Newton in Carolina. First of all, unfortunate way for it to end. Like, Cam Newton was a legitimately great player. Was an MVP in the NFL.
Is he the franchise's best player ever?
The entire franchise?
Yeah.
Julius Peppers?
Peppers. Him or Peppers, probably.
I'm trying to think of who else he'd put up there.
Luke Kuechly
is going to make that argument. Steve Smith, yeah.
Yeah.
He's certainly in there. Yeah. And he's one of the guys who'll go into the Panthers Ring of Honor if they have whatever they have up there at some point. But he's also not old. Like, he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
So if he wants to play again,
he's going to play again.
Somebody will let him play for them.
He's going to play again.
Who will it be, do you think? Because there's teams that could use
him. I'm telling you, I think he'd be great in Chicago.
Me too.
But look out for Tennessee, possibly.
Tennessee?
Yeah, but I think he'd be great in Chicago.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Chicago's like, that would be like, because you know Cam, he's swaggy. So, yeah, Chicago would be perfect.
Oh, it would be perfect for him in Chicago.
Chicago would be perfect.
It's just a matter of whether or not he can actually be healthy enough to play in the NFL again. Because, again, when he's been healthy, people People forget this. It's like Cam Newton got bad or something. He didn't get bad. He got hurt.
Yeah.
And when he was healthy last year, at the beginning of the year, they were 6-2.
Yeah.
Then T.J. Watt separated his shoulder, and that was all she wrote. He's been hurt ever
since. Why can't my Dolphins have him? Why not?
Would you rather have Cam Newton or Tua Tagovailoa?
Cam Newton.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm just not convinced. Yeah. And you want to talk about injury worries. Tua Tagovailoa has been as injured as anybody in college football the last couple of years. He's always hurt.
Yeah.
He's always hurt. I don't know. I just you hate to see it end like that for a guy that was, I mean, it's not over. His career's not over, but it seems like his career in Carolina may very well be over. You mentioned it. If they get rid of him, it costs them $2 million. They save $19 million.
You think John Elway goes to get him?
Nah, I don't.
I don't think so.
I don't. John Elway has a type.
Yeah.
Bad, immobile. Those are the guys he likes. Cam's too good.
Yeah.
He's got a proven track record. Let me trade up to draft Paxton Lynch again. Where's Paxton Lynch at? Maybe he can bring him back.
Isn't he in the
Brock
XFL?
Osweiler? I don't know where he is. Here's the thing about all the guys that John Elway has brought in. They're not in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, I was like,
Brock Osweiler retired because he's a bum.
And everybody mad at Brock. I'm like, what you mad at Brock for? Why did he ever take the money?
Yeah, if somebody offered you $40 million, you'd probably take it too. Gladly. I could be a terrible quarterback for $40 million if you're willing to give it to me.
Oh, he said Paxton Lynch is backup in Pittsburgh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought they had a backup named Delvin or something like that.
Remember we were talking about Delvin? The duck guy.
Yeah, Delvin the duck.
Yeah, the duck guy.
We were talking about him a couple weeks ago. Anyway.
Yeah, the duck caller.
So it turns out it was his foot, unfortunately. And Cam Newton's on the IR now, done for the entire season. Let's get to what we were talking about in the last segment with the owner of the Chargers, Dean Spanos.
Get him, Dean.
He was asked, hey, Dean, you guys moving to London or what?
It's total. Okay.
Excuse me?
We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home. And this is where we're planning to be for a long time. Okay. Period.
Get him, Dean. You in your white pants. Dean always wore white pants.
Really?
Always. Like
even
like,
after Labor Day?
Dude, well, they were like the jeans. They were like the jeans material.
White jeans.
Yeah. He would always have a Charger shirt and some Ferragamo, like, slip shoes.
I mean, I'm sure whatever he's wearing was expensive.
That's all Dean would wear.
White jeans are for attractive women.
Hey, man, Dean rock them. Tucked tight and everything.
Tight, too?
Yeah.
Do you believe him?
No.
Because Dean Spanos didn't swear at us when he said he was going to stay in San Diego.
Oh, here's the thing.
But he said he was going to stay in San Diego, too.
Dude, they want a team over there. Roger Goodell wants a team in London so bad. And I was listening to somebody talk today about just the tax implications, because you're getting taxed here and there. I was like, whoa, boss.
Oh, really? If you play?
Yeah, they were talking about you getting taxed there and here.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, and they were bringing out all this other stuff, but I don't care. I don't want to play in London. You know what I'm saying? London's cool to visit. I don't want to live there and play there.
Take a trip there.
You know what I'm saying? And I promise you, there's a whole lot of players that don't want to do that. But yeah, what's going on right now is this LA thing ain't working out.
Oh, not at all. In the soccer stadium.
Yeah, and it's
that only the opposing team's fans
exactly.
come to.
So it's not working. So they got some issues with them trying to do this dual stadium because, I mean, I don't know how it's
going to
work.
Well, it's not going to. Because the Rams are building the stadium and selling PSLs and winning. Like, the Rams are actually a good football team right now.
It ain't going well for them either.
And it's not going well for them either.
Yes, exactly.
They're having a hard time selling PSLs too. Like, if you buy a PSL for that stadium, do you have the rights to both teams' tickets? Or you just have to buy a – because, first of all, PSLs are the biggest scam in professional sports.
No doubt.
Just so we make that clear, PSLs are a joke and they shouldn't exist. But the idea that there's a double PSL in a stadium, like
that's crazy.
Okay,
that's crazy, man. But yeah, they got to figure something out, man. But yeah, I don't know what it is about Roger and wanting a team in London. Just don't get it.
Like footprint, like
dude. No, nobody wants to live.
I know that.
Roger Goodell, as we know,
full well, does not give a damn what an individual NFL football player wants.
No, he doesn't. Like, I would move to London if that was just what I was going to do, but I don't want to live there and play football, have to travel back and forth. No.
No, honestly, like, you played for the Chargers.
Yes.
Imagine if you were on the Chargers right now and you got a contract for the next couple years and you know there's a chance that you might have, like, all right, we might move to London next year. We're going to play our home games over there in Wembley Stadium in jolly old England.
Yeah.
You trying to get traded?
No. Oh, yeah. You got to
trade me, please.
You got to let me go, man. Yeah. But no, they can't do that, man. It's just too much going on. as far as, you know, trying to set everything up over there. But for some reason, Roger, he's trying. But I just don't see that happening.
I mean, I think the reason that he wants to do it is it just gives the perception that the NFL is even bigger than it actually
is.
His
legacy, you know what
his
I'm saying?
Legacy, oh, right.
Yeah, Roger
I made it international.
Yeah.
I made it, you know, I went across the pond and had a team over there.
Yeah,
it's ego driven.
I just don't see it happening.
It's totally ego driven.
I don't see it happening.
Because what fan wants it? Like, what NFL football fan wants?
They like it over
okay,
there.
Okay, them, great,
they,
cool.
They like it over there, man.
That's great. Well, I'd like Atlanta to have an English Premier League team.
But that ain't going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
I want it. Who cares what I want? I don't live in England. I'm no offense, but I don't care what any British people want. We had to stop caring about what they thought in 1776, Randy.
That was such a great, yeah.
People say that sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but it's true, though. We beat them. I don't know. I don't want to. Say I'm a fan of a team that's playing against a team that plays in London. I'm not interested in going over there. I guess it would be a fun trip to go on.
Yeah, but
it just seems silly.
It is. And that's what it is. It's silly. It just doesn't make any sense. But, again, Roger, he keeps on flanging it out there, but I don't see it happening.
10 minutes away from chatting with Gary Danielson from CBS. He's on the call this weekend as LSU travels to Alabama. He was on the call last weekend when Georgia beat Florida. Looking forward to that conversation in our College Football Corner 10 minutes from now. Bill Polian, who was pretty roundly criticized, including by me, two draft processes ago, when he encouraged Lamar Jackson to switch to wide receiver, has actually apologized for that.
Yeah,
like,
he's wrong.
Which is, I don't know, impressive to me.
Did we need him to apologize?
I like that he did this.
Oh,
yeah.
I like
that he said what he said.
Sometimes I don't even like apologies. Sometimes I just like when people are wrong.
I agree with you. And sometimes apologies don't really matter, and it's not going to do anything.
Does this apology matter?
Well, I mean, what he said in the first place to me wasn't like the biggest deal in the world.
It was wrong. He had a wrong analysis.
I just like that he came back and said, "Yeah," because I was looking at it incorrectly. I was thinking about it from a traditional quarterback, whatever. And luckily, John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome were smarter than me. Their thought process was more prescient than mine. That's the word that he used. And because of all of that, he came back and said he was incorrect. I just like that because he didn't have to do that.
He didn't have to.
And a lot of people that have had the success in the NFL and had the stature of him would never admit that they were wrong, and he was, and I like that he did.
Yeah. Hey, Jordan, I'm turning on the game and myself at the Wing Cafe and Tap House in Marietta this Saturday. I'll be there from 5 to 7 p.m. Come grab a beer and watch some college football, and also register for a chance to win 2 tickets to the Peach Bowl, courtesy of Dos Equis. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly.
Coming up next, the College Football Corner, Gary Danielson from CBS is going to join us, get us ready for a big weekend this weekend, take a look back at what Georgia did against Florida, and ask him a question or two about the College Football Playoff rankings coming out as well. Gary Danielson joins us on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday, 20 minutes away from the Wendy's Zone. Wendy Adams steps in studio with us at 11:40 every day. We'll get to the most important audio in the world, top of the noon hour, but happy to welcome to the program on the WadeForIt.com hotline, Gary Danielson from CBS. We had Brad Nessler yesterday, which was fantastic, and today we get to chat with Gary. How are you, Gary?
I can't hold a candle to Brad Nessler, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's how that's how we felt when he was on the show with us yesterday too. But we do our best. Obviously, you and he are in the midst of a really fun time of year, getting to call all these great games, and we'll get to the LSU Alabama game in a few minutes. But you guys were there for the cocktail party on Saturday. What did you learn from UGA in their win over Florida?
I'm not surprised at all. The biggest question mark was, you know, who is Jake Fromm? And I said it in the game prior to it in the open. I graded his game against South Carolina as if I was a coach. He had 3 negative plays. Only one of them was an interception. And I saw Drew Brees do the exact same thing against Ohio State, attempt to throw a ball out of bounds and it being a little short, and he threw almost a pick six to almost lose a game to Ohio State. It's what these great skilled quarterbacks do. They have no conscience. They make plays and they don't make plays. But the team is going to get better. They are young at wide receiver. It has set back Jake Fromm because he's a timing thrower, but they're getting better, especially with the Lawrence Cager. I believe their defense is getting better every week. And I thought the biggest storyline from that game was the Georgia offensive line handled the speed rushers from Florida without needing to keep help in the backfield. that says nothing but good things for Georgia the second half of the season.
And Gary, with that being said, and going back to the offense for Georgia, what did you think of Coley's play calling this week? I mean, last week, because, you know, coming into the game, that was a big issue also.
Yeah. I didn't see it being all that much different personally. You know, I was asking for a shot. I'll just go give you behind the curtain a little bit, okay, because I had – worked out. I knew where James was, Coley. We've all been there. You know, if, when you're in a high-profile position in the SEC, okay, whether you're a head coach, a quarterback, an offensive coordinator, or the analyst for CBS, you're going to get criticized. That mm-hmm. just goes with the territory, and if you can't take it, find another job, because that's what it's like, life in the big time. Randy, you played in the NFL. You know what it's mm-hmm. like. These jobs, go with that. If you can't handle it, get out. I thought he handled it fine. And what I was going to say, we never quite got the shot of him. I was going to kid my buddy Steve Shaw that James had one of the four toughest jobs in the SEC. Head coach is number one. Quarterback is number two. Offensive coordinator is number three. And Steve Shaw, head of officiating, is number four. Because those jobs are tough every Monday after those games. I thought he did fine. And just remember, no, whether it was Mike Bobo, Brian Schottenheimer, let's see, who was next? Jim Chaney at Georgia. When things don't go well, people talk about the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And it's funny, you know, everyone acts like they weren't critical of Jim Chaney the last couple of years.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess now because James Coley has replaced him.
Well, we remember he had seven plays from the one-yard line just a year ago, and I remember the uproar after his LSU play calling when he didn't run the ball enough a year ago, and the next game when he went seven plays without getting in the end zone. Goes with the territory.
Hey, Gary, again, Gary Danielson joining us here from the SEC on CBS. When you see the Georgia offensive line do what it did against Florida's pass rush and Florida's defensive line, I mean, does that give you confidence and thinking they can do that to pretty much any of the opponents they have on their schedule?
I do not think there's any question that Georgia has enough talent to play with anyone. Of course, doesn't guarantee they can win against anyone. They'll have a struggle against Auburn. Auburn's a legit team. They have a championship defense with a true freshman quarterback. That's a bad combination. Gus Malzahn's received a lot of criticism for that. Kind of deserves it. I mean, you have a chance to win. It's hard to break in a quarterback and say, well, the kid's really going to be good next year. The guys on this team, you know, I've been on teams. I've been veteran on teams. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't like breaking in new players when you're ready to win. And this was a bad mix for Auburn. It's good enough against most teams. But against the best teams, you need a quarterback with a little experience, or you need a game-changing quarterback. Jake was good enough. Trevor Lawrence was good enough. Tua was good enough. But right now, Bo Nix is not farther enough along to really handle enough offense for this Auburn team. I do think, getting right back to the beginning of it, though, Georgia is good enough to win against anyone. Will they? Yeah, you know, they still got a couple of areas that need to get a little bit better. And namely, their receivers have to be better route runners. Jake likes to throw on timing. And, you know, I covered Randy when he played. Randy was a great route runner. He got the ball on time because the quarterback and the receiver were confident together. Right now, they're still not quite in sync.
Thank you, Gary. That was a very compliment, and everybody's.
Randy's having a hard time asking this next question because he was taking a bow.
Really?
Well, he was good. I watched him play football.
Hey, Gary. Yesterday, we know that the college football playoff polls came out. Everybody's overreacting already. What were your initial thoughts on it? Because it really doesn't matter because it's going to be changed by next Tuesday, anyways.
Well, it sends some messages, but again, with the committee, it sends mixed messages, mm-hmm. and I don't quite get it. I thought the committee was supposed to pick the top four as if the season were ending Saturday. Okay, and let's suppose there was some big flu epidemic, okay, and college football could not be played for the rest of the year, and they had to just pick it after last Saturday. Are you telling me that this committee would put in Penn State over Clemson? That's not going to happen. They would use the eyeball test at the end like they always do, and they'll put in the team that they think is one of the four best teams. So I'm a little bit confused as why sometimes they use the eyeball test. This year they put Ohio State number one because they felt that they had a little better schedule than LSU. Not sure if that's an eyeball test or a resume test or whatever, but I'm a little confused by Clemson. Okay, number five, it doesn't make a lot of a difference right now, but you know at the end it will. Just ask that Baylor, TCU,
right.
Penn State. I mean, at the end, they always go back to the eyeball test, and I'm a little confused why they haven't done it now. But let me round up the bigger picture here. Somehow it wasn't by design, but it seems like it's come out correct, okay? Mm-hmm. We have the AP saying LSU, number one. We've got the coaches' poll saying that Alabama's number one. And we've got the college playoff committee, those 13 guys, saying Ohio State's the one. I do think those are the three number one teams. And it's probably a toss-up between those three, who's the best right now. Everybody else, Clemson, whether they've sleptwalked a little bit through this team, their schedule has not been able to get the attention of their players. By the way, I thought Georgia was sleepwalking a little bit. I think that's another reason why they'll play a little better the second half. I think everybody else is just a step behind. I think having three number ones probably is the correct message.
Gary Danielson joining us from the SEC on CBS. You've got another huge one coming up this weekend, Gary, LSU and Alabama. As you're starting to get ready for this football game, what are some of the things that you're excited to see?
Well, number one, LSU's bringing a quarterback. I watched last year's game yesterday just to kind of review where I was a year ago, and throughout the whole first half I kept saying, how's LSU going to score? If this gets over 17 points, they'll never catch up. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough offense. This year that's not going to be the case. When they play football, now, you know, there's no guarantee. I mean, it could happen. They could have a bad game. They might not be able to score. Maybe Alabama pitches an Auburn-type game, but at least there's hope from the LSU team that we've got an offense that can score points. I didn't feel that. These losses ever since the 2011 championship rematch and actually the game before, the 9-6 game of the century, LSU came with an inferior quarterback every game. This time, you might give the nod to Tua. You might give a nod to Burrow, but you come in with hope. That's the biggest difference in this game.
And Gary, when you first heard about it, going back to when the season first started, you're hearing about this whole LSU offense and everything. Right. They're going to be in the shotgun. What were your initial thoughts? Because I know I was like,
I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
There's no way I believe it. I go, come on. Nobody can change that. I've watched LSU play for a long time, ever since Burt Jones was the quarterback. When they had one of the best quarterbacks of all time, it was still LSU. I mean, you go there. You hand the ball off, you turn your back, you run play action pass, fullback in the flat, and you run a couple bootlegs to the tight ends. Even Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. Now, they threw the ball, but it was not with a sophisticated pass offense. This change in 1 year, none of us could have believed.
I know we don't know exactly what to expect from Tua, and I guess whether or not he'll even start is still going to be a game-time decision. I think we all think that he will. But we've seen him come off injury before. We've seen him come off this injury before. What do you legitimately expect to see from him on Saturday?
He did not handle injuries a year ago very well. He seemed to try to do too much, even though he was a little bit limited. He seemed to try to overcome the injury by being a little bit too aggressive, throwing too many anticipatory throws. The two interceptions against Clemson when he was still playing a bit hobbled, he threw both of those way too early and he didn't actually read out the play. Felt like he was trying to get rid of the ball so he wasn't getting hit. I hope he just is, for Alabama's sake, is just plays like Tua because he does have a way of getting out of sync when he thinks he needs to do above and beyond the call. It caught up with him against Georgia last year in the SEC championship game. He was waving the ball all over, and it ended up costing him plays. It's just a sprained ankle, and we all know this that have played. It's a little bit like Kevin Durant in last year's playoffs. When you're getting ready to play and you're testing your injury, and I hope Brandy agrees with this, You go through the drills and you simulate all you can. And I had seven surgeries in the NFL. And I played hurt knowing I was going to need surgery. You simulate all you can, but all the time you're doing it, you're always thinking about how does this feel for my arm, my ankle, my back, my shoulder. You're always thinking and testing it. When you get in the game, you no longer can think about it. You just react.
Right.
And I think that was the difference between Kevin Durant. He could test it all he wanted, but when he got into the game and he instinctually tried to do a play, bang, that's when it hit him. So I wonder how good Tua's ankle will be. I assume it's okay. It's just a sprained ankle, but we'll see. And the hidden fact here is that no matter if – I'm sure Tua will start, and I'm sure he'll give it a try. But the hidden part of it is Mac Jones, if he has to play, needed the whole week of practice, because this is not the normal Alabama team where you've got a game manager quarterback offense. This offense is built around Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jason Waddle. Even Najee Harris is out more of an Alvin Kamara type running back where they get him the ball in space. This is not put the quarterback in there, run the ball off tackle, and throw a couple bootlegs. This offense will not work without it being quarterback-centric.
Gary, you absolutely lived up to the Nestler standard.
Yes, just great.
I'll tell you this, though. He's better than me at night. I'm better in the morning.
We appreciate it, Gary.
Hey, thanks a lot,
Gary.
Have
a great call this weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Gary Danielson there from the SEC on CBS. Great stuff. A lot of insight.
Gary's good, man. He's good.
We'll react to some of what he said.
And he likes me.
Well, he loves you. You almost couldn't ask a question because you were so busy gloating about it from a man who doesn't gloat. We'll come back to the Wendy Zone coming up next. Wendy Adams in studio with the Midday Show and Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Wednesday. Let's get immediately to the Wendy Zone because it's an abbreviated Wendy Zone because Gary Danielson was great, but I went too long with
him. He was great.
He was awesome.
And
Gary Danielson was fantastic.
Weekend.
So now we get to the Wendy Zone and Wendy Adams. Hello, Wendy.
We'll start with food because I'm
I'm starving.
I'm so hungry.
I'm always hungry this time of the show.
I'm always hungry. Yeah. And I'm having like serious Popeye's chicken sandwich FOMO.
Really?
Yes, because all day yesterday on my Instagram, I saw people that food opinions I respect and their friends that I know.
I'm so glad you said it on the radio because I was going to quote you.
Oh, God. When she said that, we both looked at her like,
Wendy said that before.
What?
Yeah. She was like, well, yeah, it's just friends of mine whose opinions I respect about sandwiches.
Dude.
You know, just people that you know.
I know you mean. It was just a really funny thing to say.
And they posted on their Insta stories, and I told you I would be one of these people if I got a sandwich in my hands. I would post that, hi, I've got a sandwich in my hands.
Yes.
And they all had them, and I haven't had one, and I'm very upset about
my
it.
My thing again.
And they say it's so good.
What is dignifying about you taking a picture with a damn chicken sandwich?
Because you got it.
You got what? A chicken sandwich.
Randy, it would be like the equivalent of you standing in like line on the Black Friday sales and you there
Which
was
I would
only
never
like
do.
But there's only 10 hold on, but there's only like 10 of those 65-inch TVs and like $100 and you got one of those, I would take a picture like,
that's
hi, here's my 65-inch
$100.
That's not a good comparison.
Because there's more than 10 of them.
There's more than, you know.
It's a chicken sandwich.
It's a chicken sandwich.
Standing in long line. I don't know.
I get it because I get FOMO sometimes too about stuff. I'm just saying the FOMO, then, by the way, that's fear of missing out for people that don't know the acronym. It's the FOMO that's leading to people getting stabbed.
What?
Like you're one step away from going to Popeyes and stabbing somebody.
I did not
over
hear about
sandwich.
This story. What happened?
Oh, yeah, somebody's dead.
Yeah.
Honestly, got
shanked over a damn chicken sandwich. Because I read the story. The dude was cutting in line.
Which you should not do,
but that's the only reason to get shanked.
No,
but
it's not.
Still, man, I mean,
there's no food worth dying over.
All I know is that, because yesterday I went to the grocery store where my over off Lawrenceville Highway, and there's a Popeyes.
Yeah.
There's a Popeyes right there by the grocery store. Across from the grocery store. And so I was riding to go pick up dinner yesterday. I'm like, look at this line for a damn chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
What if I just want a 10-piece?
Is there a different line?
You know,
there's not, though, because one of my friends stood in line and said the guy next to him did not order the chicken sandwich.
What if I just want a 10-piece
just
mild?
Ordered the tenders.
Or a 3-piece spicy wing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Then you probably wait till next week or the week after when the chicken sandwich isn't as popular.
Yeah, but I'm like, all right, man.
You're not missing out, Wendy.
I mean, you're not missing out. It's a
you
sandwich.
You got a lot of stuff going for you.
I hope it tastes really good.
You need a chicken sandwich to fulfill your life.
That's what I'm saying. Do you feel like this would be a life-altering moment that you get a damn chicken sandwich?
Probably. Do you know how long it's been since I've had a chicken sandwich? I mean,
I don't know. How long?
A long time.
It's Chick-fil-A downstairs.
Chick-fil-A.
But
and I've
this
seen
is a
people,
different chicken sandwich.
I've seen people review them whose chicken sandwich opinions I respect said that the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich is better.
But then I want to have.
You want to compare for yourself.
I just want to compare.
I understand. I understand. Just don't allow FOMO to have you go into to an outdoor store to buy a knife to go to Popeyes and stab somebody over
definitely,
a chicken sandwich.
No, that's definitely not going to
do
happen.
Do not do that.
It's definitely not going to happen.
We need
by
you
way,
on the show, not in jail.
By the way, today is National Nachos Day. I'm just going to stick with food. And Brian had nachos, also something I can't have, as I ate my breakfast sandwich this morning that had the cauliflower biscuit, like biscuits around it. So it was like a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, but it's cauliflower.
Cauliflower bread?
Yeah.
Oh, was it all plant-based?
No, not all plant-based.
So that's always interesting to me.
Sausage is,
like,
is real.
Yeah, so it's like the sausage. Oh, because the bread, so it's low carb?
Yeah, low
I guess.
Carb.
Okay, I get it.
Low carb.
I get it.
Yes, not vegan. Well, as you know, the Washington Redskins, Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington Redskins, one of the least popular owners in the NFL. Yes, we're going to actually talk sports now. The Redskins have had one winning season, made one playoff appearance in the last 7 years, or 1-8 this season. They've already fired their head coach, Jay Gruden. We know all of this. Well, you know how local bars and restaurants around town will normally support the local team. But one brewery in Purcellville, Virginia, announced that they're going to be releasing a beer called Sell the Team IPA. So the brew is described as bitter and slightly disappointing, like a day at FedEx Field, and it has a high alcohol content to help the Redskins fans get through another dreadful Sunday.
That's
so
really
I just
funny.
Think it's a brilliant marketing move. The bar's name is Harper's Ferry Brewing. Again, that's in Virginia, so not supporting their team.
I like that.
It's cool.
Sell the team.
He's
not
selling it.
Gonna.
He's not gonna.
He's not gonna. But I like the effort. And look, when your sports team's bad, we've got some experience with this in this city, right?
Yeah, but
one thing that helps
is organization is a nice organization.
Oh, yeah.
Redskins,
it's
just
you want them to fix it. You don't want Arthur Blank to sell the team. But nonetheless, alcohol helps.
Yeah.
Whenever you're unhappy with a team.
One playoff appearance in 7 years?
Yeah, that's RG3's.
And then RG3's knee got busted up in that playoff game. Oof. Like, they made the playoffs, but it ended any chance of going back because RG3 got hurt. That was when the field was all torn up, right? Didn't your cousin get hurt in that game, too?
Yeah, he did.
Chris Clemens got hurt in that game, too. Yeah, that field was ragged.
I played it before, dude. It is some raggedy field.
You don't need a chicken sandwich.
I mean,
to fulfill your
it
life,
is a
Wendy.
Chicken sandwich.
You like, got us.
Let me know.
Food is fulfilling.
You got the listeners out there.
You just want to be a part of the movement, huh?
Y'all have wives. I have food.
And booze.
And wine.
And us.
Plenty of wine.
We'll come back
guys.
And get to the most important audio in the entire world to kick off the noon hour. Dave Archer going to join us at 12:20 for the Lunchtime Falcons Report. Arch is back with us this week, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.